Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armelie.
Praise you, Jesus. Ah, it's been good already this morning. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come. You are our dearest friend. You are our dearest friend. Holy Spirit, we honor you. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. This morning, Holy Spirit, reveal to us more of your truth. Because we long to have you have a place where you are free to move through every person in this house with the gifts you've placed within them. So Holy Spirit, teach. And yes, Holy Spirit, convict if that's the need. And convince if that's the need. Reveal truth to us, Holy Spirit. Lord, have us have receptive hearts to you. And a willingness, Lord, in this hour to see the bigger picture of what you're doing. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, when Pastor Jay asked me to preach again, I thought I would use some of my teachings from the school of ministry that we had when the Holy Spirit fell so heavily up there. I remember Pastor Rod, I said, you got to come up here. The students were on the floor. But strangely enough, it's not where he let me go. He gave me a whole different message. So anyway, we have to do what he wants. So I'm going to start, I'm going to be predominantly in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to open up there. And I want to start today with Acts 2, 16 to 21. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. These are the last of the last days, maybe. I mean, we've been talking about the last days since the book of Acts. And so we don't really know what that time frame looks like. Lots of people want to give dates and all the rest. Forget it. It's in the Father's heart, and he knows what needs to be done on the earth, right? So we're just going to say we're here. We're here to occupy in the years that we live here. We have a job to do until God calls us home or he returns. Either way, we overcome and we witness and we bring people to Jesus and we heal and we deliver and we multiply food. And we speak of the kingdom and advance the kingdom. Amen? So 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink in one spirit. For in fact, that body is not one, but many members. In the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to form the body of Christ. He's the administrator of the church. And he dwells within each one of us. It's through us that the kingdom of heaven is revealed to the world. And so the Holy Spirit, in order to do that, has to have free reign in us, right? It's through us that he wants to bring peace into chaos. It's through us that he wants to set the captives free, right? It's through us that he wants to lay hands on the sick. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work through a many-membered body. That's how they function on earth. And if the church isn't functioning, then they can't function. Do we understand that? And yes, God is sovereign. He can do all things. But he's chosen to move through mankind. We co-labor with him. Is that correct? We co-labor with him. So we need to be in that place where the Holy Spirit can use us. And I spoke last week or 2 weeks ago about how crucial it is that we surrender to him and give up our will and our rights to him. Amen? To be yielded to him. We need to walk on the earth as Jesus walked. And that's Acts 10, 37 to 39, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Is God with us? So are we to walk as he walked. And he uses the gifts that he's placed within us. In John 14 and 16, Jesus tells his disciples that he has to go away, but that he's going to send the promise of the Father. Without the Holy Spirit, we're unable to do the work of the ministry. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was given to anoint us with power. The gifts were given to build the Lord's body, to build people. In 1 Corinthians 10, 11, 12, and 13, Paul is bringing correction to the church. That's what all those chapters are about. Already the enemy had been sowing all kinds of things and the church was starting to struggle. So Paul is teaching and correcting the Corinthian church. So I want to look at that a little bit this morning, because I really believe God wants to pour out his Spirit on us as a body of believers, on the church at large, but especially in Canada. There is a call on us that God needs to fulfill in Canada. It's going to require the Holy Spirit. Not just churchology, it's going to require the Holy Spirit. We're a nation that has birthed many revivalists. We're a nation that has already seen 4 revivals in different parts of the country. We're a nation that's extremely blessed. But God wants to bring revival to the whole nation. And that's really what it's about. And if we don't understand that the enemy is working overtime to do the opposite, so that the Lord's plan will not be fulfilled, then we've got to look again at what's happening. Amen? I'm forgetting about the people that are watching online. I apologize. I'm very focused this morning. And so I trust you're with us. We have to understand God is getting ready to move. And so he's bringing correction to the church. I want to read out of Acts 2, and I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation because it's a little more eye-opening. We know that the sound of the wind, mighty rushing wind, comes in. But this is how this, and this is a translation to help us understand. Most times I teach out of the New King James, but I felt, because I don't have that much time, I just can only do one translation. On the day of Pentecost, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. Notice it says it engulfed. It engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never, ever learned. I have a guest staying at my house right now, short term, and last night she was telling me a story about how years and years ago she was involved. She's on staff at Toronto Airport, or catch a fire. And part of what she did at the time was pray for guest speakers who came in a soaking type of a setting. And Heidi Baker was brought in. And she was very sick at the time. And they interceded and prayed in tongues over her. And when they were all through, Heidi Baker turned around and said, "You guys were all speaking in Portuguese. And I understood everything." Isn't that amazing? I've not heard an actual testimony of someone who experienced that. And I thought, Lord, you just let her tell me that for today. She said, the Lord actually used their tongues to speak to her and what she needed. I said, Lord, you're so good. If we ever think God doesn't move through all of us, we think again. It's powerful. So the disciple had been instructed to wait, which they did. And then the Holy Spirit comes. It says, a noise came from heaven. Is it possible that two worlds met in that moment? Heaven and earth. It was like a violent rushing wind. The word rushing is pero in the Greek. Rushing, to carry, to bear, or to bring forth. This was a noise, a violent wind, that carried or brought forth something from its place of origin to its destiny. Something from its place of origin, the call on mankind that was there in the garden, its place of origin, to its destiny, the restoration of walking and talking with the Lord, of being creative, of restoring. You might even say it was a clashing of two worlds. The word noise can be translated roar. God spoke the worlds into being with his voice. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of heaven by the breath of his mouth. Breath, the ruah of his mouth. When the Holy Spirit came in, like the sound, the roar of the wind, God restored to mankind their purpose for why they were here. Pentecost is powerful. We celebrate it as a feast in the church. And you know, they were celebrating it under the Old Testament as a feast. And all the people were there from the different parts of their known world. And they're doing their ritual, their ceremonies, what they did. Not wrong, it's what they knew. But the real McCoy was happening in the upper room. And it was so powerful and so noisy and so full of life and so full of joy that they heard them and people started to gather. One of the authors, Dr. Fuchsia Pickett, talks about her perception of what she thought it was like when the Holy Spirit fell. That they had intimately known the Lord. They had walked with him for 3 years. They had experienced the Lord's love, his warmth, his closeness. And then, of course, Jesus ascended into heaven. And they would have felt that separation. But when the Holy Spirit fell and came on them and engulfed them and then came into them and endued them with power, they knew the presence. And now the presence was in them. And now they understood what the Father's promise was, that the presence, the Spirit of Jesus, would dwell in them forever. And that intimate closeness was there. And the rejoicing and the celebrating, and they didn't have enough words. And out of them came this adoration in tongues. Their language, they just bubbled over and bubbled over and bubbled over. And they were laughing and they were full of joy. But then when they walked out of that upper room, what happened was diverse tongues hit them, which is what happened in that room with Heidi Baker. It was Portuguese. And they didn't know it was Portuguese, but Heidi understood Portuguese. And so the message was for her. It says they heard them preach the gospel in their own tongue. Amen? And I said, God, I want it. I want it. I don't want just a little bit. I want all of it. It's available for us. It's amazing. And so here's this roar. And out of their inner man began to bubble up the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have to cut this short. I'm looking at the time. It's like, oh my gosh. Anyway, so Paul is teaching. And Paul is, I'm going to just skip over some of what I have. I wish I could give it all. But Paul begins to teach them that there are some things not in order. And he actually begins with the scripture that Pastor Rod used and communion. Before that, he goes into many other things. But as I was looking through it last night, he begins to pinpoint some things to them. And he says, you're gathering for communion, but you're out of order. You're out of order. You're no longer in unity. You're no longer showing agape love. And he begins to teach them. Everything Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit did was through agape love. Let me read you just a little bit of what he says. 1 Corinthians 11:17. Now on this next manner, I wish I could commend you, but I cannot. Because when you meet together as a church family, it is doing more harm than good. I've been told many times that when you meet as a congregation, divisions and cliques emerge. And to some extent, this doesn't surprise me. Differences of opinions are unavoidable, yet they will reveal which ones among you truly have God's approval. When all of you gather as one church family, you are not really properly celebrating the Lord's Supper. For when it comes time to eat, some gobble down their food before anything is given to others. One is left hungry while others become drunk. Don't you all have homes where you can eat and drink? Do you realize that you're showing a superior attitude by humiliating those who have nothing? They've lost their agape love. And they're partaking of communion with a heart attitude that's not right. That's why he was telling them, examine your heart. Are you discerning the body correctly? Are you recognizing that everybody that's sitting in the room is your brother and sister? And you're not even waiting for the one who's hungry. And you're getting drunk as you're partaking of the Lord's table. Or the communion feast, if you want to put it that way. And so he was bringing correction because the Holy Spirit wants to flow through people who have such incredible love for one another. They recognize that you're part of the body. You're part of my body. And he uses two very strong teachings here, actually three. In 11, he talks about the communion table and what was happening there. And in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about love. And so the gifts of the Spirit are wedged in between these two teachings to reveal how not to function in the body of Christ. Like he's really speaking with great strength about the situation. In chapter 13, we have the discourse of what agape really looks like. And we like to use this at a wedding ceremony, and that's great. But we relegate it to that context. And it's really supposed to be around using the gifts of the Spirit in the church. Its context is all around how to function in the Holy Spirit. And how we are to be used to restore the body of Christ at large and to bring the world to salvation. When we look at what he says with this in mind, it's a whole different aspect. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed understanding, supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. Verse 4, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Help us, Lord, in the body of Christ. Help us. When God all of a sudden puts favor on one for something we've been aching for, and jealousy creeps into our heart, and our thoughts are different towards that person. Help us, Lord. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. He ends this chapter by stating that our understanding is incomplete now, but one day we will understand everything, just everything about me, understand everything, just as everything about me has been understood. I sat there with that. I says, everything about me will be understood too in that day. So, Lord, every motive I had that was wrong, every time I preached and I walked out of the room and thought, oh, didn't I do a good job today? Right? It can creep into your heart. Let me tell you, what a battle to keep all that junk out. I'm known also by the Lord. He says only three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. Out of these three, the greatest is love. God is love. The Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave out of love. He ends by saying, above all else, let love be beautiful, the beautiful prize for which we run. So everything that we do, and especially around the gifts, has to be bathed in love. It's crucial that when we stand in front of somebody, and I think of Jill and Judy and the ones that work on the street, as they stand in front of somebody who has maybe thrown up on themselves or wet themselves and they smell and they haven't had a bath in maybe a month. And they're standing there. And the natural self wants to back up. But the spirit self is so overwhelmed with love for that person, because in that moment, God has his eye on that person. And God in that moment uses the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, understanding what happened to them in the childhood that caused them to careen down the road of destruction. And the Holy Spirit brings prophecy along, and they begin to prophesy life into that person and hope into that person. And without looking at the outward part of the person and how they look, they reach into the goal that's inside that person, the destiny that God put there, and they begin to pull it out. And the man come or woman comes to salvation. Unless we have agape love, we can't do that. But it can happen here in the church too. He can put us in front of someone that in the past we've been hurt by. And now God says, speak life into them. Let my love pour through you into that person. And that's why God is dealing so hard with the love that we have for one another in this hour. Because Canada's been ripped apart with what's happened in this last year. Not so much by what was happening in Canada, but by what was happening in the U.S., which migrated over into Ontario. I would have to say Ontario more than Canada. And the division and the separation in families over someone running for government. And love went out the window. So now God has to restore those relationships, especially when they're believers. Because when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And these are scriptures. We want the power scriptures and the anointing scriptures. Oh, I want to lay hands on the sick and raise the dead. I do too. But if these parts that he's talking about are not in place, it's going to form something not good. And that's, I've got a ministry. Look what God did through me. And the Holy Spirit is grieved. Terribly grieved. Because once again, it's not about him. It's about us. And it becomes perverted. And so he's saying, hear me. Agape has to be restored. And then he says, unity has to be restored. Because unity in the church has been broken. So 1 Corinthians 12. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. In Philippians it says, whether male or female, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one, but many members. And then he goes on to talk about, you know, if the nose wants to be an eye, how's the body going to function? Right? And if the foot doesn't like being a foot or the hand a hand, then the body isn't going to function correctly. And you and I have all experienced, we've broken a toe or we've got a body part that's hurting and the whole body hurts. And boy, when your foot hurts, it's amazing how it can hurt all the way up to your head, isn't it? I mean, it can hurt. Or a toothache. Their whole body just seems to ache. And so Paul is purposely showing how the body is meant to work together. And he talks about the fact that there are parts of the body that have to be hidden. And there, you know, like how we have to honor all the parts of the body. And I just encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 12 yourself and read it in several translations to see what he's really talking about. Because it's amazing. So if you and I function in a body, and I may function in word and knowledge. In fact, I do. If I'm praying for someone online, God begins to download, and they'll say afterwards, how did you know that? I didn't. But in the praying, those things come out. But somebody else standing beside me, or if you're on the line and I've prayed for you, and I'm trying to simplify this right now, but I've prayed for you and you've heard me pray, and God's revealed some things. Well, then Pastor Rod comes along and I move to the next person, and Pastor Rod now begins to prophesy over that person and prophesy very accurately into their life and what their future is, right? And then maybe Pastor Jay comes along next and he begins to pray for healing for that person and they get healed. I can't be jealous of Rod or Jay because they're moving in their giftings. I need to move in my gift. And when we all move in our gifts and we're moving the way God's called us to move, the body gets healed. It's amazing. The body begins to get healed because we're functioning. Someone else has the gift of miracles. You know, it doesn't have to be the ministry team. People are sitting in the congregation carrying these gifts. And most of the church doesn't function in them. So we want the Holy Spirit to come and fill us with power, but we sit on our gifts. And the Lord's saying, no, it's time to begin to function in your gifts, not to build your own ministries, but to function as a body, to see the body healed. But further than that, to get out of the four walls and begin to function in those gifts to minister to a broken world around us. Amen? The gifts have been given for that purpose. That's how the Father extends his body. That's how the kingdom expands on earth. Amen? But if love isn't flowing through us, we're going to have ulterior motives. And if we don't understand that I'm just one tiny little piece of the body, but if I function in the part that God's called me to function in, then the body is working well. And as we begin to understand, someone else may have the gift of being a servant. If that person that God's placed on them, the gift of being a servant, resents it because they're serving and they want to be prophesying instead, then that part doesn't function well. Right? Like Pam, we haven't seen Pam because, you know, she's working in a nursing home, so got to be careful. But Pam is such a gift. She has the gift of serving. And when Pam can't be with us in a conference or something, we really feel that because there's a gift inside of her that just sets it all up the way God wants. And people are blessed and ministered to through her gift of serving. It's amazing how God causes that to function. And so God is saying, start you, if you know you have a gift, start using it again. Minister in that gift. It may be to the guy in the grocery store. It may be at a gas station. But begin to function in your gift again. Look, when you leave in the morning, say, Lord, give me a divine encounter where I can use this gift. If it's evangelism, step into it again. Amen? It's our heart attitude God's dealing with. This unity causes the Holy Spirit to lift. He's God of peace. This unity has to be healed in the body of Christ. And it can't take a year, church. We need to be interceding that the rifts and the divisions that have come get healed quickly. Because the Holy Spirit wants to fall. And I'm not saying so much that it's in here, though some's happened to us as a body. But it needs to be healed. Because we want the Holy Spirit to increase, right? Right? All right. All right. I am out of time, but I want to read just one thing. I have read this before, but it impacted me so much when I read it, and It's one of the things I pulled from my notes. This is a quote out of John G. Lake's book, From Your Power in the Holy Spirit. They are getting ready to pray for a woman who is crippled up with inflammatory rheumatism. And he's praying, sitting in a chair in the room, John G. Lake is, as the other man prepares the woman. John G. Lake at this point had been ministering. He was born again, being used by the Lord, but he did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For 6 months, he had been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he had other people praying with him that he would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is the account of what happens to him. He speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit beginning with a rain of peace inside of his soul. Then currents of power began to rush through my being from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. These shocks of power increased in rapidity and voltage. And these currents of power would pass through me. They seemed to come upon my head, rush through my body, and through my feet into the floor. This power was so great that my body began to vibrate intensely, so that I believed if I had not been sitting in such a deep, low chair, I might have fallen upon the floor. An overwhelming consciousness of God's presence possessed me. A new rush of power, taking hold of my very flesh, seemed to come from my feet and move upward. My throat and tongue began to move in a strange manner, and I found that I was unable to speak in English. Presently, I began to speak in another language, one that I had never learned by the power of the Spirit. These were the outward manifestations, but oh, who could describe the thrills of joy inexpressibly that were passing through my spirit? Who could comprehend the peace and presence of God that filled my soul? The sanctifying power of the Spirit in my very flesh, subduing all my nature unto what I understood was the nature of Christ. The revelation of His will, the unspeakable tenderness that possessed me, a love for mankind such as I had never known, were born within me. He shall be within you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Holy Spirit comes into the Christian soul, John G. Lake says, to elevate his consciousness in Christ to make him greater. Man is to preach and reveal sin so that it can be dealt with, because the Spirit of truth is going to move through us. How else is man convicted around us? He is to cast out demons. He is to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that a divine flash from his Christ nature that has been empowered by the Holy Spirit will cast out the demon. And if you read accounts of how he ministered and Smith Wigglesworth ministered, a person would begin to run off because they had demons and they couldn't be near him, and they would just point the finger at the person. They would fall on the ground and get delivered halfway into a field. And I say, God, I want it. Amen? It's available to us. He lays his hands on the sick, and the mighty Spirit of Jesus Christ flames into the body, and the disease is annihilated. He is commanded to rebuke the devil, and the devil must flee from him. He is to be a reigning sovereign who does not shrink in fear, but overcomes by faith. John G. Lake was one man who was determined to have what the Scriptures spoke about. Are we determined to have what the Scriptures speak about? Amen? I do. How about you? Because it's available to us. And it would be good for us to pray, Lord, flood me with that agape love so that I'm not selfish when you use me and claim it to myself, but that I recognize I'm part of a many-membered body, and I may just be the mouth today, or maybe I'm the ear today, or maybe I'm the eyes to see the gold that's in a person. But Lord, whatever you want to use me, whatever gift you've placed on my life, let me use it well. And when you, at your will, want to add another gift and another gift and another gift for the sake of your body, then do so. We're not talking about fivefold gift. Those are gifts of Christ. Pastors, you know, evangelists, teachers, prophets, apostles. That's a different gift. And it's a gift of Christ. But these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit to build a body of Christ and to see the world come to salvation. It's through us, as we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us, that life comes forth in the world all around us. It says all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creation is groaning. We can stop storms. We can speak to diseases that are in crops to go. We hear a testimony a few years ago about Kathy Prout's farm when they had mildew. Was it in the corn clod? Corn. And their farm didn't have any. They prayed over their land. We prayed over our land. We have authority, church. For the sake of the world, we have to start stepping into it with the heart of the Father. Amen. So, Father, I thank you. Help us as a body of believers to be so positioned for you when you want to come. Holy Spirit, to be so ready to walk together as one body, a living organism. Lord, that the selfish ambition, the jealousy, the me self, the self-aggrandizement, the my rights, all those divisive things that the enemy's brought, Lord, that we annihilate them and say, not on my watch, not in my life. You're not going to use me that way, enemy. Lord, may that be our cry, that, Lord, there would become such a loving body in this house and a body of unity that, Holy Spirit, you walk in and you just are able to do what you want to do. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for how you're teaching us. We honor you, Holy Spirit. You are wonderful. We love you. We just draw you closer to us and say, Holy Spirit, more, 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 more. It was, those were the words, Lord, that the people at the Toronto Blessing used to cry, more, Lord, more. But Lord, we cry more. We want more. We don't want church. We want you. We want to see the book of Acts continue in our generation. And we say, Lord, more. More in our individual lives and more corporately. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.